imagination to make that pleasure as little available as possible. And he immediately decided that those e-cigarettes, those VAP cigarettes, are very bad for your health. And so they've been banned, basically, the same way in which normal cigarettes are banned in New York, where you can't, you're not allowed to buy them unless you're 21 years old. But in fact, a lot of people have understood that those electronic cigarettes, which give you much less nicotine than an ordinary cigarette, are like the patches, the devices that many people have been using in order to stop smoking or to smoke, to cut down drastically on the smoking. So it's at this moment, the puritanical impulses in American society are mobilized against any possibility that these VAP cigarettes might have some advantages.
A memory has suddenly come back, and I haven't thought of this for 20 years, but I made an anti-smoking television commercial years ago, which was based on the fairly obvious supposition that, in a sense, the cigarette, it's like chewing a pencil or all sorts of things one shoves in one's mouth, is a substitute for sucking the nipple as a baby. So I had the Marlboro Man sitting on his proud steed on the hill, and as we zoomed in, we discovered that he wasn't like sucking his thumb. And up on the screen came the slogan, cigarette smoking is for suckers. I thought that was pretty good. But of course,
I don't want to minimize the dangers of cigarettes, but like, you know, most adult pleasures, tobacco, cigarettes in particular, are a mixed blessing. On the one hand, they're very bad for your health. They're bad for your, particularly for the bodies of young, growing people. But at the same time, I deeply believe that, you know, between the ages of 18 and 35, you're probably not going to do irreparable damage to your health if you smoke, for example, cigarettes. And for some people, the smoking at that age, at the moment at which they enter adulthood, is absolutely necessary. They need the values, the virtues, the benefits that cigarettes provide in sort of allowing them to, you know, enter the adult world. I mean,
you and I are in deep trouble. We will both be burnt in effigy. We've said tonight. It is problematic, and it's proof to me there is no God, because if there was, why would all the pleasures have such alarming downsides? And it's almost universally true of other things we like to do and perhaps shouldn't. But look, Richard, it's great to talk to you. You must stop back in another 20 years.
Absolutely, God willing.
Okay, well,
thank you so much.
Richard Klein, professor of French at Cornell, author of Cigarettes After Blind, published by Duke University Press. And I found that you could tear the pages out, roll them up, and smoke them. Tobacco kills 15,000 Australians per annum. President Obama recently joined the 1.3 million Americans who are estimated to kick the habit annually. Coming up next, has Shakespeare's annotated dictionary been discovered? I've been greatly looking forward to this story tonight, because yes, William Shakespeare's annotated dictionary may have been discovered. I'm certainly an enthusiast for the evidence. Let me tell you a little bit about it. We'll get into the details later. But in April 2008, antiquarian booksellers Daniel Wexler and George Copperman put in a bid for $4,300 on eBay for a book printed in London in the year 1580. Now, I think I would have put in a bid for any book printed in London in 1580, let alone a copy of John Barrett's dictionary. Now, what makes the 16th century Elizabethan dictionary exceptionally interesting is that, yes, the handwritten annotations are said to point directly to the composition of some of Shakespeare's masterpieces. So we may be, in the presence of the literary find of the century, which, by nice timing, coincides with the 450th birthday of the greatest playwright in history. I go further, I think he's the greatest writer in history.